Up to we did the second loop. Second loop starting from Haloi Av Echal Lechulanu. Av Echal Lechulanu. Let's see the Rashi's. Rashi and Pasuk. Rashi and Pasuk Yud. Rashi is on with Malachi Perik Beis Pasuk Yud. Malachi Perik Beis. Perik Beis Pasuk Yud. It's on page 880. 880. Yesterday we did the Mitzvah Sadi. Today we're going to do Rashi to see how we get. Pasuk Yud L'chalo B'ris Avasei the B'ris Shakaras of the Shvokin Avasei the B'Sinai. So here it says that the Pasuk Yud said, Haloi, we have only one Father, L'chulanu, Haloi El Echad B'ra Anu, one God created us. Madua Nivgad Ish B'Achiv, why has one man betrayed his fellow man, L'chalel to profane B'ris Avasei. Now the Mitzvah David explains the word Nivgad here refers to one man being unfaithful to his wife by taking another woman. And when it came to the words, the bris, avoseinu, the Mitzvah David, I don't recall him explaining the depth of how that follows. L'chalo bris avoseinu. How is bris avoseinu, according to the Mitzvah, refer to a man and a woman? Madua, going back to the Mitzvah David, Madua Nivgal Hamlechalos Oid Behabegida, he has bris alokin ki ator asro l'schatein. Okay, so he says the Mitzvah David is because it's the bris of the Torah. The Torah has taught us, the bris here refers to the Torah, Avoseinu, of our forefathers. It's a general description of the Torah. The Torah does not permit a Jew to marry a non-Jew. Now, when Rashi says, Bris Shakara Sakadosh Baruch Hu Avoseinu B'Sinai. I mean, okay, fine. I mean, is Rashi coming to agree with the Mitzvah David that the focus here is intermarriage, and the bris is the bris of the Sinai, and at Sinai Hashem taught us that a person is not to marry a non-Jewish woman, maybe. Let's see further. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Bogdi Yehuda V'soy V'od Nes of Yisrael V'shlam Ki Chilu Lehu Dekodesh Hashem HaShohev U'vol Bas El Nechar. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Chilu Lehu Yehuda Es Atzmai. Yehuda has profaned themselves. Shohoye Kodesh Hashem Reishis Tu V'osoy. The Jewish people is holy, and they are Reishis Tu V'osoy. So he's quoting over here the Pasuk. He's taking the words Kodesh Chilal Yehuda Kodesh Hashem. So what Rashi is saying is when Kodesh Hashem is short, it's just a short reference to
a shorthand
reference to the pasuk of Kodesh LaHashem Reishis Tivu Asoy. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. So that's very unusual that Malachi, who is obviously a later prophet, is according to Rashi is coming to refer back to the words of Yirmiyah. How often do you have that idea? Do you have that idea where
have you talked about any number of times about copying words from an earlier Navi or earlier source?
Correct. So it's interesting that according to Rashi, he's not saying something independent. According to Malachi, he seems to be saying that he knows the famous words of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah said, Kodesh Yisrael HaHashem, the Jewish people are holy to Hashem, Reishis Tevuah Soy. The Jewish people are the first of his Tevuah. Hashem, we are Truma. The Jewish people are considered to be Truma of this world. This world, there are a lot of things in this world. B'Shvil Yisrael Shemik Reishis, Reishis Tevuah Soy. We are the holy portion. Raised the same idea. So here he, according to Rashi, is saying a very fascinating idea that Kodesh, that when it says over here that we are Kodesh Hashem, it's a reference to this pasuk in Yirmiyah, Kodesh LaHashem Reishis Tevu Asoy. Okay, interesting. Next, now it goes on, Uvohal Bas El Nechar. Now here he agrees with the Mitzvahs. What does it mean that they have relations with a woman who is an El Nechar, a daughter of an El Nechar, Shanasu Nashim Nachuyos Bababa. And notice this is not what the Mitzvah David said. The Mitzvah David said they married non-Jewish women in Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
The Mitzudas David says that when they came back from Babel to Eretz, they came back with one woman, one wife. And due to the tircha of the derech, their wives are no longer pretty. So what did they do? So they went and they married, they found other women. We're in Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Mitzudas David understood this psukim. Rashi does not say that. Rashi says, I think, which is much more popular. I think when we're talking about people, when they learn the sugya, they're always under the impression that the intermarriage took place in Bavel. Intermarriage did not take place in Eretz Yisrael. Ezra did not allow people even to ascend. He did not grant visas to people to go to Eretz Yisrael unless they first, when they separated from their non-Jewish wives.
They probably were looked down on anyway in Bavel.
Lower stature. Okay, you never know. But this is what he, this is what he, in the Gemara, in the, when you learn the Gemara Masech the Kedusha, I pray Gassar Yuchsen, I don't remember the words of the Gemara.
Whether we're talking about people and whether it's a husband-wife relationship or an Israel and Hashem relationship, it's the same thing. It's the same metaphor for taking on a second or infidelity or whatever you want to call it. I mean, they're six of one and half a dozen of the other.
Okay, but the question here is,
and they borrow expressions of one or the other, so.
Okay, but the question here we're focusing on is, where did the intermarriage take place? Did it take place in Babel or did it take place in Eretz Yisrael? We learned yesterday that it took place in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi here disagrees. Rashi says, "Uval bas el nechar shenasu nashim nachuyos weir bevavel." The afilu hakohanim k'moshim mufrash b'sefer Ezra v'maseinu amu malachi ze Ezra.
So now, in other words, Rashi thinks that Ezra broke up the intermarriages
in Bavel
that were brought along with them from Bavel.
Yes.
So I don't recall ever that's what Ezra was talking about.
Ezra did not ascend until much later. Ezra stayed in Babel for a very long time by his Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah. He did not want to leave his Rebbe. It was Nehemiah that ascended much, much earlier and started the construction and was the leader. And also Zerubbabel.
I didn't get around to this till the 10th parak, I know, but...
Okay, whatever. But let's just put that note over here. He's saying it'll be a lot that the intermarriage is primarily in Eretz in Babel, not in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, the one that made a big deal about it was Ezra. We know that as a fact. And here we find Malachi also making a big deal about intermarriage. And along comes Rashi. And Rashi says it's not unusual, because the truth is Malachi is Ezra. They are one in the same. Okay, so therefore, it's not a. That's an interesting point. Ezra is Malachi is Ezra, and both of them have in common. I mean, even though each place they have a different name, but they have the common thread is they're very upset and troubled by intermarriage, and they're trying to make it tikkun. Okay, next. Let's go to the next Rashi.
When they came to Israel, they had already children, grown up children
from their second wife.
Ezra told them, get everybody out, men, women and children.
Because so the children are Jewish.
Brought them with their wives from Babel.
From Babel, right. That's what Rashi learns.
There was no relationship between the Goyim in Eretz Canaan. There was nothing there.
It was with the Jews within themselves. The Jews make the biggest problems for themselves. They marry non-Jewish women, had non-Jewish children, because the children follow the mother. And now what do you do with them? What do you do with the non-Jewish children? The parents are not going to be so just willing to give them up, and they want to hang out with the parents, but they're not Jewish. They cannot participate in the services. To be Megayer, not everyone wanted to be Megayer. Not everyone wanted to go along, and it became obviously it was a very, very big problem. Pasuk Yudbeis. So Hashem says, anyone that engages in this activity of intermarriage, what will Hashem do? Hashem will cut off from them, er ve'oine. So he's saying over here, just basically the same thing we learned in the Mitzvah of David. This means Hashem will cut down from the person his descendants. anyone that engages in intermarriage, he will not have any children. His children will be cut down. Why does the pasuk use these unusual expressions to describe descendants? Er v'oneh, er b'chachamim, v'oneh b'talmidim. Er is not exactly from the mitzvah stuff. It said er just meant that he's awake. He is aroused to participate, to listen to the shiurim. And oneh means he knows how to respond. He knows how to engage in Talmudic debate. Here, Rashi is a little bit more nuanced. Er means the teacher, the chachamim, and the oineh means a talmud, the student, the talmud, the talmidim. Er l'shon adam chorif. According to Rashi, it means someone that's very sharp. And oineh means someone who responds. U'magish mincha, v'im koyin hu lo yeloi ben, magish mincha. And if he's a koyin, and if he is a koyin, he will not be able to have a child that will be magish mincha, that will participate in the service, because obviously the children are not Jewish. Okay, now I just want to make a point. Rav Kalman made something very interesting, and I want to work backwards. Just throw an idea, raw idea. Rav Kalman says something that's utterly brilliant, that Yehuda had three sons, Er, Oineh, and Shelah. Okay, so Er and Oineh and Shelah, obviously Oinon and Shelah, and obviously in Yiki, it's just obvious what Kalman is saying is that there's obviously a relationship between Er and Oinon, between Er and Oineh. I mean, it's the same exact Oineh and Oinon, it's the same thing. You can't ignore that. I don't recall any discussion about why Yehuda called them by these names. Yet Yehuda, he left his brothers because it was a bizoyness what happened. What happened with Yosef? The plan of eliminating Yosef did not go off well, and he was the one that was blamed, Yehuda, because he was in charge. So he left. He married the daughter of Ish Adulami, Bashua, the daughter of whoever she was, this woman. And he went off with his friend, Ish Adulami. And then he had three children, Er, Oinon, and Shelah. He took a daughter-in-law for Er. And what happened to Er? He died. He took a daughter, then it was Meyabim. He gave Tamar to Oinon, and he died. And then Shelah, she wanted to marry Shelah. And Yehuda says, no, you're not going to marry Shelah. Whatever happened to Shelah? I don't know. Whatever happened to him? Who did he marry? What became of the sailor, the Sukkim? Was he part of Klal Yisrael Shelah and all of the people that went down to Mitzrayim?
Well, you have Peretz and Zorach,
too. Right, so what happened to Shelah? Did Shelah become part of Klal Yisrael? Is he listed in the...
Yeah,
he's listed.
Yeah, Shelah,
and they came to 70. Okay, so very good. Oh, okay, Shelah, okay, so he's there, okay. Okay, so he's living amongst us. Okay, Yehuda, he's living, he's somewhere, maybe he's in this, maybe a descendant over here in this room is from Shelah. But Shelah did not marry Atama. That we know. Now, here's the question. The question is, why indeed did Yehuda name his children Er and Oinon? So here we discuss Er and Oinon. The Gemara tells us, Er and Oinon is, Er, he's a Talmud Chacham, and Oinon, he's awake, he's aroused, he's spirited in learning Torah. Between Rashi and the Mitzudos, we have a prophecy, the Mamre Chazal will tell us the exact words of the Gemara. But it means that they were Talmidei Chachamim, they were inspired people to study Hashem's Torah and learn Torah. Oinon, they were able to engage in Talmudic debate. Oinon, to respond. What does Shelah mean? Shal ne'alecha mi'al v'aglecha? What? The name Onan is spelled, okay, I didn't know that. Onan, okay. Don't chab him on TikTok here. Okay.
Oh, I know.
It doesn't bother me. Okay.
Okay,
100%.
Yehuda, Rabbi, and Hashem, because Ra is the same letter as
Rabbi. Air. Right? Okay, all right.
That's the...
it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. No,
but it has to be... We have to take this Chazal that is written by intermarriage, Er and Oineh, which is a punishment. Hashem over here is describing the punishment for intermarriage. The punishment for intermarriage is who?
Heir.
Heir, right, I didn't have children. That was by Onan. Vaya Er did not want to make her pregnant. I think Hazal said did not want to cause her to lose her beauty. So we have Er and Onan. So here's the point. Let's go backwards. Let's work backwards. I mean, here the pasuk says something very, very intriguing. The punishment for intermarriage. What is the punishment for intermarriage? What's the punishment? The children can be Megaya. No, you can bring them into Klal Yisrael. Eventually, a man marries a non-Jewish woman. Okay, this week's parsha. A ben soyer, eish esifas toyar, eish esifas toyar. You know, so what's the end? What's what?
Well, but the Gemara says ki yisischa is only ben imecha.
Ki yisischa.
Ben of. Yeah, how come it says imecha? Because that's who's going to be.
Okay, but that's a Jewish.
Because
the yisischa is Jewish. But let's say a person Rachmana Litzlan engaged in intermarriage. So what's so terrible? So obviously he did terrible out there. But the children, who says that a zeres cut? If the children can be megayer, even though according to halacha, the children are goyim, they're non-Jews. So what he'll do is he will convert them. He will marry a non-Jewish woman, have children. He's a very religious person. He has a weakness towards this non-Jewish woman. Okay, that happens. You see them in society all the time. People that are very religious. I mean, I know of a story. I mean, I can tell you some crazy stories about people that are really very chashva people, and they get a woman and they really are totally taken in by them, and they marry them, even though it's not really in the eyes of people the proper type of a zivuk. Listen, that's how it goes. People. So this man meets a non-Jewish woman. He really likes her. He marries her, and he says, "No, I have a weakness, but I'm not cutting off my seed from Klal Yisrael. I'm going to put them in the shiur. I'm going to raise them as talmidei chachamim, goyim. I'll be megayer them. Right? So this is a taina. A person can say, let me marry this woman. I know it's wrong, but you know, not everyone is perfect." In Sadik Ba'aretz Asher Yaseh Tov V'lo Yechato, I have a weakness. And Puk Chazi Ma Amadvar. This happens in the world. It's not for nothing. It's an 80% an intermarriage rate.
I've heard that in some out-of-town day schools there are quite a few
halakhically
non-Jewish children.
Right. So why are they in the day schools? Because the father feels guilty. How could it be that I gave up my Yerusha, my legacy, going back to Sinai, I'm a Jew? And my children now are not going to be Jewish? No! They will be Jewish. They will be Jewish. I will put them in yeshiva, and I will show them the beauty of Judaism, and they'll convert. My wife, she doesn't want to convert. Okay, so she won't convert. But my children, I have shlita, I have power over my children. They will convert. So the pasuk over here says, you're not going to outsmart Hashem. Because success in Klal Yisrael, whether you like it or not, is not money, it's to be Talmidei Chachamim. Being part of Klal Yisrael, the ultimate success of part of being Klal Yisrael is to be Talmidei Chachamim. You think you're going to outsmart Hashem. Hashem told you don't marry a non-Jewish woman. You think, listen, I don't care, I'm going to marry her, my children will be A-okay, I'll be Magayer them, and they'll be successful, they'll be Talmidei Chacham, they'll be the next Gedolei Hador. Hashem says, I'm telling you, it doesn't work like that. Yachreis Hashem lo'ish asher yasena er ve'oineh me'olei, from the Batei Midrashim of Yaakov, there's going to be no Talmidei Chachamim that will come from your children, whether you like it or not. Don't think you're going to outsmart them, you're going to marry non-Jewish women and convert your children. They're not going to be Talmidei Chachamim. And what they're not going to be Talmidei Chachamim, you know what the end's going to be? They're going to fall to the side. They're going to be goyim. They're going to go back where they came from. If you're not Oisek, if you're not connected to Torah, we know, unfortunately, it doesn't go. Yeah?
What I want to ask is, so it never happened that a Jewish woman got to marry a non-Jewish guy?
No, that's the other way around. When a Jewish woman marries a goy, a male who's a goy, the children are Jewish. The yichus follows the mother. We're discussing here exclusively. These psukim are discussing exclusively when a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman. That's what we are discussing. This is an exclusive.
But then, even the other way around, if you marry a non-Jewish woman, doesn't mean the children, their children, are part of the Jewish.
So a parent has control over their children.
But anyway, they're doing the always causes trouble.
Okay, but besides that, let's discuss a very common phenomenon. It's a very common thing where a man meets a non-Jewish woman and he wants to marry her. It bothers him to no end that he knows that his children will not be Jewish. And what he does is, he says to himself, they will be Jewish. They will be Jewish. How will they be Jewish? There's a solution. You want to have chametz over Pesach? You sell the chametz to a guy. Okay? You want to eat Perush Shemitah? You have Het and Mechira. Okay? You want to smoke? You rent your lungs to a guy. There's always a solution in Judaism. There's always a solution. So there's a solution. I'm going to marry this woman because I like her. There are no Jewish girls in the whole world that are good enough for me. The only one that I can find that I like is a non-Jewish woman. And my children will be Jewish. Because at this moment they're born, I'm going to send them to a kollel in Bnei Barak, and they're going to learn Torah. If Bnei Banav Shalom Alam Du Torah Bnei Barak, why can't my non-Jewish children learn Torah in Bnei Barak? And we'll convert them. And as soon as they become bar mitzvah, whatever, we'll put them in the mikvah, and they're going to see the beauty of Yadus. We're going to take them on Cholamoda trips to great adventures. Why? And give them ice cream. Why wouldn't they want to be Jewish? If you can go on a Cholamoda trip to great adventures and give them some ice cream, like so they'll convert.
But it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
That the men want to have a good time, so they took the...
What?
You mentioned one time in speaking about this here, that they...
This is what they want to do.
So they took the guy.
So Hashem says, I promise you, this plan of yours will fail miserably. Even though on paper it seems that you've got it all planned out. Yachreis Hashem lo ish asher yasena that does this. What's the curse? It's a klola. What's a klola? But the terms are, he doesn't say that the man is going to die. Maybe that's
your family tree will die.
Right, in an indirect way. That's a very extremely usual type of curse. When the Torah doesn't hold back. When Torah wants to give it a klala, it says a klala. It says death, and all the tzars of Torah. Torah doesn't hold back. Here, it says something very strange. It describes the descendants of intermarriage as there'll be a curse. There's not going to be an heir and an oiner. And Rashi, Chazal tell us, what is this funny words? Heir, someone who's awake and someone who talks. You're talking about a human being's life. You're using metaphors. And Chazal says it means, Talmidei Chachamim. I guarantee you, your descendants, there will be no Torah in your descendants. They're not going to be people that understand the Daf Gemara won't have any connection to Judaism. And unfortunately, we know that when people don't want to have anything to do with Judaism, with Torah, then unfortunately, they just disappear. They disappear. You know, it's tragic. When in America, at the beginning of the 20th century, at the end of the 19th century, you know how many millions of people came to America? Jews who came from Poland and Europe, because not any fault of their own, because of dire poverty, and there was no yeshivas in America. It was a very different culture. The nisyonos were extremely overwhelming. And where are they today? They're gone. No one even knows what happened to them. It's amazing. How could they just literally disappear into thin air? Millions of people just literally disappear. I don't know, millions, but in the millions, they say. I'm not an historian, but the numbers are extremely staggering. They disappear. Why? It's not their fault. No one's blaming them. There was no yeshivas. There was nothing. There was no structure. There was no infrastructure for Yadus. It lived in a completely gaish environment, and the demand to work 24/7 to earn a livelihood was overwhelming, and that's what happened. So, and now where are they now? 100 years later, gone. That's what it means. You want to intermarry and think you're going to outsmart Hashem by converting your children. I guarantee you these children will not be Talmidei Chachamim. They will not have an opportunity to embrace Torah. And what's going to happen when that happens? They disappear. They disappear. Now, take this idea. Let's now go back to Yehuda. Everyone asked the question. It's a very disturbing question. And there is, I don't think there's really no satisfying answer. Yehuda went, and Yehuda, he left his family. And he married this woman, Bathsheba. Bathsheba, was she Jewish? It doesn't seem she was Jewish, right? She was what is she called? She was
Bas Ishkenani Ushmo Shua.
Bas Ishkenani Ushmo Shua. An Ishkenani, right?
Yeah, so there's my focus, what it means.
But what does that mean? A merchant, everyone is right. Struggling, they're going against the grain.
Yeah.
To the Miyashev, the Chas V'Shalom to say Yehuda married a woman who is not Jewish. Chas V'Shalom. Kanani means a merchant. He said good Torah by Shalom Shuris. His Shver. The Shviga, she was a real Shviga, a real Jewish Shviga. She wanted to know everything that was going on in the marriage. Right? Kanani means he was rich. He was a rich man, he was a merchant. All right, if that's what it means, I'm not gonna argue, who am I to argue, but it's a little bit bizarre, no? It is a little bit bizarre. Klal Yisrael is very, very small. You have Yaakov Avinu, you have barely 70 souls. When they went to Mitzrayim, not that longer, not much longer later, there are only 70 souls in all Klal Yisrael. So who else do you got out there to marry? It seems like a non-Jewish woman. So you'll ask, well, who did the Shvat to marry?
Maybe better than marrying
his
sister.
Well, who did the Shvat to marry?
Yeah, Matzim Gomorrah has a big problem.
Who did the Shvat to marry? They married their sisters. They're twin sisters. They married from other sisters. We don't really know. It's not so clear. Are you allowed to do that? Before Matan Torah, they were living in Eretz Yisrael. You know, we have a whole principle that even though before Matan Torah, you're allowed to do different things, but not in Eretz Yisrael. They were living in Eretz Canaan. They were living in Eretz Yisrael. Even when we say that before Matan Torah, the mitzvahs do not apply, most Mepharshim, they don't apply in Chutz Laaretz. You can get away with certain things. In Mitzrayim, you can get away with doing, but once you come to the living here to show, the rules are different. So I don't know, I really don't know, but it is definitely something which has drawn the attention of many commentators.
Like you say, we don't know, so why struggle? Why don't we just give a simple answer? You're allowed to do it?
It's not an answer. You're not allowed to do it. If you're not allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do it. You can't just say, what do you mean? Yehuda went, he married Bas Ish Kenani, Ushmo Yeshua, according to the simple translation, a Kenanis. You're not allowed to marry a Kenanis. You're not allowed to marry. These are the others. Yehuda, the Kedusha of Yehuda, the Melech of Klal Yisrael. This is not the way it goes. What's going on over here? So everyone, don't go say that. Fine, we're not going to say that. We're maminim, but it is now very interesting the connection between what happened to Yehuda and this pasuk here. Ezra Malachi is telling Klal Yisrael, cut out the nonsense. You're marrying non-Jewish women. You think you're going to outsmart Hashem and you're going to go and you're going to make your children into the next Gedolei Hador. You're going to convert them and you're not going to cut off your zera from Sinai. It doesn't work like that. If you marry a non-Jewish woman, Hashem says, you're not going to outsmart me, your children will not have any connection to Torah. Now look at Yehuda. He married a Bas Ishkenani.
What happened to her? She died.
She died.
Two children also.
And she left over Erevon. But he called them.
You can see that the punishment was...
What did he call them? So I want to tell you, you can't say this, but I'm saying it anyway. He married a non-Jewish woman. You can't say this, but I'm saying it anyway. According to the simple meaning of the pasuk, Yehuda married Bas Ish Kenani. That has set off all of the alarms. All the Farshim right away, red alert, everyone goes to the rescue. Fine, I accept the Emuna Shlema. But before they come and they rescue Yehuda, let's go into the moment the alarm goes off before they arrive. Before the rescue squad of the Gedolei Yisrael arrives to save Yehuda from what it says in the pasuk, it says he married a Kenani. A Kenani means he intermarried. A Chas V'Shalom. He married a non-Jewish woman. And you're telling me it's mut before matan Torah. Yehuda says, what am I doing? What am I doing over here? What am I doing? I'm marrying a non-Jewish woman. I am the son of Yaakov Avinu. I am the grandson of Yitzhak, the great-grandson of Abraham. What am I, crazy? Am I out of my mind? I'm marrying a non-Jewish woman? I gotta be crazy. But I don't have a choice. I can't be with my family anymore because of what happened. I participated in Yosef. I was responsible for Mechiras Yosef. I was expelled. I had to resign in disgrace, in dishonor, for my failure in handling the situation. We had a brother who was no good, and I was responsible. I failed in my responsibility as the leader, as the oldest brother, wasn't the oldest, but as the leader of the brothers. I failed in my responsibility, and therefore I was dismissed. I resigned in disgrace. I had to leave. Where did I go? I had to go out into the no man's land. I have to get married. I'm a healthy male adult. I have to get married. Who do I got to marry? A Canaanis, a guy. But what am I doing? Rachmana Litzlana, I'm the son of Yaakov Avinu, the grandson of Yitzhak and Abraham. Okay, at least my children are going to be stark. My children are going to go to the Briska Koilel on the hill in Bnei Brak. And that's why I'm going to call them Er and Oinon. This one's going to be the Gadol Hadar. He's going to be Er, he's going to be aroused and give inspirational speeches. And Oinon, he's going to know how to be Mofalpel to Oinon, what it says over Oinon, Mofalpel in Divrei Torah. My children are going to be A-okay. Hashem says, no, they're not. Because you intermarried. You intermarried. Who did you marry? A Canaan. You don't do that. You don't do that. And don't tell me you can do that and you'll take care of the next generation. They'll be Jewish. What happened to Er and Oinon? They both died very quickly. His wife died and they both died. And here you learn the whole story from the where it's Shach from Malachi. At the end of Malachi, it tells you the story of intermarriage, and Hashem to cut down Erva Oinem the Oli Yaakov Mibagish Minchal Hashem Tzivakos intermarriage. You go back to Yehuda. I mean, the pieces fit. Now, is what I'm saying total nonsense? Not because if it is, I'm the first one to back out. I'm running away. I have Charata Gemura, but I mean, it's just such an obvious connection. Is it not?
When we read Sefer Ezra, and it's there's no compromise there. This is throw away all the women and all the children. Now he went et la sud Hashem before. Maybe there is a conversion and this. No way, not by Ezra. He was very strict. There was a lot of crying.
No nonsense.
There were 10,000 people there, and a few hundred married Nashim Nochriot.
He was a very strong leader. He was a leader. He was a very, that's leadership. No nonsense. There are times when a leader has to put down, lay out the law, and no matter what. It's strong leadership. Ezra, it was the parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra and Moshe, Chazal said the Torah was Roy, that the Torah would have been given through Ezra, just like Moshe. Moshe and Ezra, Moshe was a strong leader. Strong leadership qualities, and Ezra was the same thing, no nonsense, when he came into marriage, I don't care about your feelings. And Moshe was the same thing. Moshe, shuvu lechem lo'olecha. Boiche al mishpachosa. Both Moshe and Ezra were involved in separating intermarriage, forbidden relations. Moshe told the Jewish people, you're not allowed to be married. Now that the Torah was given, who are you married to? Your aunt? You're married to a half-sister or this and that? Get divorced. Moshe, get divorced? What are you kidding? What's going to be? I don't care. Get divorced. Osir, separate. Ezra, like Rav Kalman said, no nonsense. No nonsense. Arois, get him out of the house. Done. Both, and Chazal say, Moshe and Ezra, they were identical. They both served in the same role. They had the same power, same esteem. Ezra was equivalent to Moshe and his daughter.
Moshe married Zipporah.
Oh, so yes, the question. So what?
That's why Moshe was Moshe to do certain things before.
Moshe separated from Tzipor. Moshe divorced her.
The pasuk of Ochel Mishpachosav, parsha ends with the story of Moshe that Miriam and Aaron were speaking lashon about the daber Miriam the Aaron the Moshe ki shal kushis loka. So he was conflicted. Those were all his problems.
He separated from her not because she was not Jewish.
When Chazal says something, they only give you all the reasons. We don't give you all. There's a famous thing with Gilui. Everyone talks. This is one of the kind of the Chazonish Gilui. If you have a cup of water, right, and you go out and you fill up a cup of water and you go outside to the bathroom, and then when you go outside, you go on a telephone call. You're outside, let's say for half an hour, and you come back inside, and the water was exposed. Are you allowed to drink the water? Are you allowed to drink the water? You have a regular cup of water, so according to the Gemara, you're not allowed to drink the water. Does Gemara say why? The Gemara doesn't. The Gemara says why? Maybe a snake.
Right.
Might be a snake anywhere over here. Came out and it came into the cup and put some poison. So today, are there snakes today? There are no snakes. I have not seen, at least in Midwood, not one that goes in the floor. Maybe other types of snakes. But I haven't seen a snake that Chazal is referring to in this shul, at least. Outdoors, I don't know, not in the shul. So therefore, 90% of the poskim say, if you have a cup of water, regular water, because once it's flavored already, the whole shayla doesn't apply, but if regular water, and you go outside for an amount of time that a snake can come out of the ground and drink it, you're not allowed to drink it. Bizman said that doesn't happen today, in modern society. Okay, it's mutter. The Chazonish refused to drink the cup of water. It's a famous part from the Chazonish, and he said when Chazal give reasons for something, they don't give you all of the reasons. They only give you some of the reasons. And if they said it's osur, you should be machmir. I mean, he was machmir. I don't think we are machmir, but you should be. He was machmir. Don't do it. Ah, but the reason doesn't apply bizman hazeh. If that reason doesn't apply in our day and age, but there are other reasons that were not, that they did not reveal to us. So, okay, so that's an idea which is hard to swallow, obviously, and you know, literally, pun intended, right? It's hard to swallow that idea, but and probably I would say my chevra, I would say 99% of us are not makbid on this. Okay, we're not. We have enough things to worry about than to worry about this. But there are people. It's a principle. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was poirish from Tzipora, I don't know if we can say this. Why? Why was he poirish from Tzipora? So we know one reason. The one reason because he was on standby. He was 24/7. He had to be available. Hashem could appear to Moshe any moment in time and tell him, piss on him. And go and speak to him. So he had to be ready. He had to be in the state of tahara. And if he was with his wife, he would have to go to the mikvah. So therefore, he cannot. That's only one reason. But there could be other reasons. Okay. And it's a very interesting question. He's saying this over here that Moshe told everyone to be pirish, and he was married to the pasuk Cushis. What is the Cushis? Who is this woman? Who is the Cushis? Why is she called the Cushis? There are many reasons provided by Chazal, but are those the only reasons? Okay, we don't know. Okay, let's go further. This is an idea. I bring another idea because I think it's an important idea about intermarriage, and this idea that a person can think he can outsmart Hashem. I know someone who's an Orthodox Jew, and he's married to a woman that's not Shomer Shabbos.
Is she Jewish?
No, she's Jewish, and she's not Shomer Shabbos. And he's a real. I don't know. He married her. He's an Orthodox guy, he's really good, he's really stark and everything. And he married her when she was not shown, when he's a regular guy. I'm talking about a guy like that, like ultra, ultra, you know, borderline Orthodox. He's Orthodox, according to all standards of the rule. He's Shomer Shabbos, 100%. He puts on tefillin, he davens every day, 3 times a day. He does everything like any other guy, you know, in Flatbush. And he met this woman. And he just had to marry her, and she's Jewish, but she's not Shomer Shabbos, and she told and he just had to marry her, and she was willing to marry him, and someone told me the understanding was is that she agreed that eventually she'll come around to be Shemeres Shabbat. Eventually, over time, but not now. Right now, she still has to do her thing. She has to go to work. She has to do her thing. Hulu, hulu. Over time, I don't think it ever happened that she came around. And he's very happily married to her. So that at least she's Jewish. Okay, I'm sure there are many rabbis that are not very happy with this. Because who's to say? I don't know the details. But go to the next extreme, where the woman is a non-Jewish woman. That is categorically forbidden. There's no way out of that. There's no heter for that whatsoever. And to imagine in your mind that I'm going to do it anyway, and it's not going to affect the next generation, even though they won't be miyuchasim, they're not going to be miyuchasim, but they can be my biological children that I converted. I'm a gadol yosam mesech beisoy. All these memory, all these things. Number one, it's biological. All right, some people they like that. They like the fact that it's science. They're big believers in science. The fact that the children are their biological children and are gerim, they're very happy. Even the Chazal say ger shem niskayer ki katan shem neil adam. According to halacha, a ger has absolutely no connection to you. So if a man fathers a non-Jewish child and the child is megayer, according to halacha, the child has no relationship to you. Some people, it doesn't bother them. Listen, I am the biological father. The kid looks like me, he acts like me, behaves like me, he thinks like me. That's good enough for me. Oh, Chazal say gerish in the sky or kodesh nodami. It doesn't bother them. And then they'll tell you, it says Chazal hamigadil yoson b'sech beisoy ki ilu yoldoi. I raised him. Who paid tuition? Who took him chalamoed to the circus? Who took care? I did. So therefore, he's mine, and he's a good kid. I sent him to yeshiva. I was megayer him. He was megayer. Gerus that all the dayanim are masking to. Everyone was masking that he's a good learner, good everything. So the Torah says, you're not going to do that. You think you're going to outsmart me? Hashem says, I'm not making this up. Yachres Hashem l'ish asher yasena, that does this, that marries a non-Jewish woman. What am I going to cut out from him? Er ve'oinem, ol le'yakov. Ultimately, this child that is a product of a man who marries a non-Jewish woman is not going to have any connection to Torah. And if there's not going to be a connection to Torah, then that ultimately, maybe not now, maybe not this generation, but there's something called, you know, Jewish continuity and Jewish education connected to Torah is a guarantee to a Jewish continuity. And you go to Yehuda, an Erev Onan. I mean, it's really amazing. If you look at the Sukkim at face value, what happened over there? Okay, I know we're going to rescue Yehuda. We're going to give many heterim. We're going to say she was Jewish, and it was a full Matan Torah, and it was this, and it was that. Okay, fine. In the Hanami, I'm not becoming to deny it. But at face value, you can't ignore the fact of this incredible connection, which only was only was revealed by Rav Kalman. This concept is unbelievable. Okay, let's now go further. Let's now take a look at the Radak. Let's look at the Radak. Going back to the previous pasuk, back to pasuk Yud, back on page 881. 881, it says, Haloi of Echel Lechulanu, Ato now, Shav Lechicham, Hanavi al Avera Acheresh, Nosu Noshim Nochuya. So he's also, everyone is following this line. The theme of this section here is intermarriage. Married Noshim Nochuya, Kamosha Kosim Sever Ezra, Vafilu Mishachai Sola Yisham Yisrael, Ha Yinoi Sela Lecha Yisha Nochus. He's saying what the Mitzvah Stavir really said. Even a person that was married to a Jew, he would marry, well, then, you know, he didn't say exactly where it took place, Ha Yinoi Sela Lecha Yisha Nochuya, the Ohava Yoiser min harishayin haYisraelis v'alze amar haloi avechal chulanu ki chulanu bnei Yaakov avinu ki ish ki isha v'chulanu achim imkein madua nivgad ish v'achiv v'oid. Why are you betraying your wife? But let's go a little further. V'oid amar haloi kel echad bira anu kolamar bekel echad anu maminim. We believe in one God. Shuvu bira anu. Not like here he's adding something a little bit new. He's adding here a new element that no one said until now, that we all believe in one God, unlike this non-Jewish woman. The non-Jewish woman that you marry, they believe in many gods. Every god, the sun has its power, the moon has its power, the stars have its power. So therefore, it's a recipe for disaster. When a man and a woman are married, they have different faiths. L'chalal, not just different faiths, but l'chalal b'ris avasim, ki b'ris avasu shaloi livgoi b'ishtoi. It is a covenant of the avas not to betray b'ishtoi. Ki avro amavinu af al pi shaloi libanu misara. Now look at this, it's very incredible what it says over here. Amavinu, even though he did not have children misara, loy bogad ba sheyisa isha acheres alecha ad shehi merit soyno amr loy boy no el shifkasi ula ibon in mena the chen yitzhak avinu ach bi shohoi sa rivka akara lo no sa acheres alecha. He did not marry, he did, never got married to another woman. The chen yakov avinu lo nosu nosa merit soyno isha al noshav ach shehi nosnu lo rishus midaitan. And this is just off the charts incredible what it said with Radak Yosem over here, because this really is against what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says Beferish, that if a man is married for 10 years, a man is married for 10 years, and he has an obligation. He has an obligation to basically divorce his wife and marry another woman to him, the kind of mitzvah of Periya or Revia. That's what it says in the Gemara. And it's a very big topic of discussion why it's not done. Today, in today's day and age, it's scandalous for a person to do this. If a person today, Rahman Ulitzlan, is married and he doesn't have children, you don't hear such things. You don't hear, listen, we're married for 10 years, we won't have children, let's get divorced. Let's get divorced, and I want to have children, and therefore... What? The Gedolei Yisrael. Rubabash Rebbe didn't have children, the Chazdish didn't have children.
Never divorced wives.
I mean, you don't hear this. And the Gemara says you're supposed to do this. The Gemara, so how could the Gedolei Yisrael, the Chazdish, Rubabash Rebbe, imagine if it's sad before the Sahara had children, many children, they were all killed in the war.
Yeah,
they were killed in the war. And it's not done. This is not acceptable. But it's halacha. This is the halacha. There are a lot of things that we don't like, and this is what it says in the halacha. You do it. You do it. This is not done. Why is it not done? So I don't remember the details. There are definitely there's a lot
right
of rabbinic literature.
Is there
like, what?
Doesn't say he has to do it.
No, you have to do it. You have a mitzvah, the rice of getting married, losheves mitzara, mitzvah of getting married, of having children, periya or adiyah is fundamental. It
right.
Stands head and shoulders above every other mitzvah. And if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam says, and it could be used as a Shulchan Aruch, but I don't remember all the details. You have to. It's not a matter of if you want, you do want, you don't want. You are obligated. Yet, it is not done. What?
If the payment of the Bainer Gershon didn't take place yet, why didn't the Gemara say, just take a
second wife?
Yeah.
It's not practical. It's not practical. You can't support two wives. You can't. Okay, here's some good questions. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. There's a big topic. There's a big topic of discussion about this whole thing. But the question always stands out. The question in this topic, my little that's in my head, is the question is stronger than the answers. The answer is, and like, you know, there's a whole people who officially don't know about like tshuva and gerim, they ask, I don't understand. I'm learning Shulchan Aruch, I'm learning kids Shulchan Aruch. How come no one does this? No one does this. There's like a long list of things, and it says explicitly this is what you are supposed to do with Shulchan Aruch. And no one does it. Even the first halacha. Yiskaber koari la'avoda saboirei. How many people fulfill the first law in Shulchan Aruch? Every morning you shall wake up like a lion. Yiskaber koari. There's a whole long list of things. And when they come to Rabban and they ask these questions, like, what do you say? You say, I don't know. I have a nephew, he always does. He always calls me and he asks me, I don't understand, it says Shulchan Aruch this. No one does it. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, do this, you don't do. No one does. What's going on? And I always say, I don't know. I don't know. You're right. What am I going to tell him? He could probably compile from me a list of 100 things that it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah. This is the halacha. This is what you're supposed to do. No one does it. Yeah.
Did Ezra give the option to these intermarried men to be Megayer their wives?
No, it seems not.
Why not?
It doesn't seem that.
Why not?
It seems that it's too little, too late. I don't know. Yes, a good question. I don't know the answer.
They had children already.
He was making a mistake.
It's not going to work.
Important. If they were going to build the second Beis HaMikdash, you want them to establish ground rules that otherwise the Beis HaMikdash, you play around.
There are
people
that
say, yes, you
have a wife and children. And
it was. It's not going to work. If you're married 20 years, so you're married to a 15 years, well, why is she going to be Megayah?
So that they can preserve their life together.
Its reality is not good.
They're not going to be Megayer. You can't take the values of a non-Jew at a certain point in time. At a certain point in time in life, an adult is a finished product. You can't. When I went to rabbi school, they taught us a very important principle. They taught us a very important principle. A lot of new rabbanim, they come out of yeshiva, they come out of Chofetz Chaim, they come out of Lakewood, they come out of Tor V'das, and they're all in the yeshiva mode. They're all in the mindset. They just got married. They're 21 years old. They need a job. They're sure as if they're not supporting you. You better get a job. And what could they do? So they got to look for a rabbanis. They go to Colorado. They find a little shul. They go to Arizona. They go find a place. Who knows where? They find a little shul somewhere to get some experience being a rabbi. And they're all in this yeshiva bocher mode. And when you go to yeshiva, what happens? You have a Rosh Yeshiva. A boy comes in. He comes in with in a certain frame of mind. And the goal of the Rosh Yeshiva is to transform him in the few years that he's under his control, to change him. The boy comes in, he has very weak hasagas. He doesn't think much of it. And after being in the yeshiva for 4 years, the goal is, the Rosh Yeshiva, the menahel, to change him, to make him into a different type of person. And parents want that. Parents, they have a boy, they want their boy to mature, to grow, and they send them to a certain yeshiva to mature and develop into a different type of person. They want to change their blood type. They put them, he has blood type A. We want, by the time the kid finishes yeshiva, his blood should be O positive. Okay, that's what the parents want, and that's what the yeshiva wants. Everyone's on the same page. That's what happens. So he told us in rabbi school, so these guys come into a new community and they think, oh, I'm now the Rosh Yeshiva here. I'm the Rosh. And they have Balabatim. And the Balabatim are in their 40s, or in their 50s, or in their 60s. And now, in 5 years from now, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to change the blood type of every single Balabas from A to O positive. How am I going to do that? I'm going to make them from people who are, modern, ultra-modern Orthodox, to, they're going to have hasagas to go and learn in Koilul and Bnei Barak, in Koilul Chazonish. That is a recipe for disaster. Disaster, disaster. A person who's in his 40s or 50s is a finished product. He's a finished product. You're not going to change him. He is what he is. A rabbi is here to service. You're here to service your people. These are the people. They need to daven, they need to learn a little bit, they have a shalom halacha. A rabbi is here to service his community. You're not here to change them. If they will change, it will only be because you're such a good person and they look up to you and it's natural, they want to emulate you. But if your agenda is to change them, you're finished. In a yeshiva, you're dealing with a young boy whose mind is still like wet cement, you can mold him. You can tell him all these crazy things, and he'll believe you. He'll believe you. You'll turn him into whatever you want to turn him into. He'll believe you when he was a little boy. That you can do. But not a finished rabbi. So he asks you a question. Ezra, he arrives on the scene, Eretz Yisrael. Who are the people he's dealing with? They're in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, their 30s. What? You're going to tell a woman who's a non-Jewish woman who worships idols
and does all the averus on the. Okay, I'm the boss now. Mandate. Mandate. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do this. I'm going to tell you what to do. It doesn't work. It just does not work. They're a finished product. You can't go, Ezra can't arrive on the scene and say, oh, look at this. All of you guys are married to non-Jewish women. Mandate. You can't walk into the store until you show me the certificate from the Rabbanut that the Gerus is a good Gerus. Otherwise, you can't walk into the store. It doesn't go like that. It's not going to work.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go further. So here he's saying a very powerful the Radak. The Radak, what he was saying is, we are all from one father. We are Madud Nivkan Ishbach of Urama Halo Elecha, the Ranu Kalama, the Kelecha, the Amim Amidim.
We should be so the Tamim. I will kill a car, the Tatik car, and then the Ram. The Elecha, the Nahnu Mamim, says Radak, Vishahu, Gamkin, the Rabbanot. The two concepts here.
Kel echad, okay. Haloi of echad luchulanu, yeah.
Next one.
Hello. The kel echad maminim shuhu beranu, shuhu kel echad beranu. One. Yeah, they go together. Okay. And shuberanu. Okay, but they do go together. The America tefa nesnachta is also a sentence. No,
it's a
okay. So I got hear what you're saying. Baranika loykel amasher menoisim nashim mehem lechal bris al esem ki bris avos who shaloi live goy biyishta. It is the bris of the others. And we read that. So he's saying over here, he is dwelling upon the word knowing the word bris avos sin. Getting back to our topic. So this is a very big topic of discussion, and the question usually is stronger than the answers. Why is it unheard of today? I remember reading a very similar there, and I just don't remember what it said there. Very interesting. Why? What's the answer to this question? Why we don't do the Shulchan Aruch? But when you look at this Radak, it's awesome. I don't recall anyone ever making this connection that the avos never did it. Avraham never considered. He never, according to the Radak, never was a hava mina to take, not to divorce, sir, that's partial, not even to take a second wife. It was Sarah who said to Avraham, let me give you Hagar. It was her idea. He did not do anything. It was her idea. And in Yitzchak, they were for 10 years, she was in Akara. Nothing. He didn't go have it. He didn't go, he didn't make any demands, nothing. And Rachel and Leah, it was Rachel that said to Yaakov, take Bilhah, okay? And then Leah said, oh, she's having more, let me also do the same that she did. So the Avos never, ever did this.
Usually once at Har Sinai,
yeah.
That right after Har Sinai, they couldn't live with their wife.
Shvul, Boicha al Mishpachaisa.
Right. But they didn't
leave
them.
They didn't what?
They didn't leave them. They did.
They had no. There, it seems that they were married to forbidden women.
Right. So after Har Sinai, after the Lucas, why didn't they all remarry to new people?
They did. They did. It was a different story altogether. There, they were married to women they were not allowed to be with.
So what happened after Har Sinai?
They separated.
The
yeah, not everyone, but a person was married to a sister. Let's say you have a brother and a sister that were married.
Right.
So they had no choice. Moshe says, separate. You're not allowed to be together. And a person was married to his aunt. Separate. You cannot be with her under no condition. Here, the others were married, happily married. The
so
problem was children. Yeah, it was a problem. I mean, that's a problem. Everyone talks about it. How could Yocheved and Amram be married? She was his aunt.
After
Har Sinai. Well, they didn't live that long. Yocheved and Amram were not alive for Har Sinai. They died long before that. Yocheved and Amram did not make it to Har Sinai. If they would have been alive at Har Sinai, then they would have to get divorced. You'd have to separate. I mean, you don't divorce. You don't need to get divorced. You have to separate. It's correct. But they just never made it that far in history. So here is an awesome, awesome insight how we fataych the word Beris Avaseinu. Our forefathers were loyal to their wives. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov were loyal husbands, even though they had all the reason in the world to separate, because they, all of them did not have children. All of them had issues with having children, and according to Shulchan Aruch, that would permit them, according to the letter of the law, to take another wife. Get back, take another. They didn't. They didn't. Why? It would have been a betrayal. A betrayal to their spouse. That's incredible. Okay, that just goes to show what it means, loyalty, betrayal. I mean, you learn in life over and over, that's one of the things you see over, it's very frightening, is loyalty, betrayal. You have, like, many times, like in shuls, you're a member of a shul, and the shul is no longer popular. It's no longer popular. All my friends, they abandon shul, they go to another shul, they go here, they go there. And you're part of a community. I gotta do what's good for me. Okay, I mean, you know, you have a wife, you have children. Many times you don't have a choice. If you have children and it's not good for the children, it's not good for your wife, you don't have a choice. But there are many situations where that's not the case. And you just, it's better the grass is greener somewhere else. And there's a frustration. People really are conflicted. Listen, you stop. So you have a legitimate reason, you know, it's just not your place anymore. I get it. I fully get it.